PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
When I was 8 years old, I was called into the principal's office, and my father was looking very solemn, and he said, "We got to go. It's Grandma." And we got in the car, and I said, "What's wrong with Grandma?" And he said, "Nothing. We're going to the movies." My mom and dad's love of movies became my love of movies, so thank you for that, Mom and Dad. I love you.
To my daughters, Luciana and Devin, I love you. Hang on to your dreams. They are so, so valuable. And to everybody at Full Sail University and my family, way up there somewhere, I don't know.
I did it all by myself.
I don't know if it's possible. I mean, as basketball players, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble, but I'm glad we can do a little bit more than that.
Can't talk any quicker. I'm an editor. I should be able to do this very quickly.
A story familiar to most of us, whether we're straight or gay or somewhere in between. We've all gone through first love, I hope, and come out the other side mostly intact.
Thank you. You guys are gonna mess up my jet ski. Hold up.
I guess I better say something else. They'll give me a jet ski, and I don't see myself on a jet ski somehow.
We were gonna go for the jet ski, but we're from Brooklyn, so...
I am an immigrant. Like Alfonso and Alejandro, my compadres, like Gael, like Salma, and like many, many of you. And in the last 25 years, I've been living in a country all of our own. Part of it is here, part of it is in Europe, part of it is everywhere. Because I think that the greatest thing our art does and our industry does is to erase the lines in the sand. We should continue doing that when the world tells us to make them deeper.
I would just like to salute Sir Winston Churchill, who has been marvelous company on what can be described as an incredible journey.
I know you are proud of me, and that fills me with everlasting joy. And now I want to get some perspective. If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will, come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers. Come on. Ms. Voynet. Okay, look around, everybody. Look around, ladies and gentlemen, because we all have stories to tell and projects we need financed.
Steven Spielberg said, if you find yourself there, if you find yourself in the podium, remember that you are part of a legacy, that you're part of a world of filmmakers, and be proud of it. I'm very, very proud. I want to dedicate this to every young filmmaker, the youth that is showing us how things are done. Really, they are, in every country in the world. And I was a kid enamored with movies growing up in Mexico. I thought this could never happen. It happens. And I want to tell you, everyone that is dreaming of a parable, of using genre fantasy to tell the stories about the things that are real in the world today, you can do it. This is a door. Kick it open and come in. Thank you very much.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Cinema Crespediso studio with the man himself, Jusik Ogburn. Drew.
The man, the myth, the legend. Jusik Ogburn is here.
That is right. The man, the myth, the legend is a riddle.
Wrapped in an enigma.
Smothered in secret sauce. That's a news radio line.
Is it?
Yeah, Jimmy James.
Nice. Oh, Jimmy James. Man, I miss Jimmy Jams.
He's the best character ever. Best character ever. One of the best shows ever. Shout out to our news radio fans out there. I gotta imagine the Venn diagram of podcast listeners and news radio fans has to be kind of like decent.
I mean, what would think?
I mean, a show about talk radio, I mean, ostensibly.
It's got pre-steroids Joe Rogan.
Yes. Also,
we've got still alive Phil Hartman,
and still working Andy Dick.
Well, still working in probably the peak of his drug use, which is why nobody noticed.
It's still in his 30s. Dave Foley.
Yeah.
Maura Tierney, fresh off of playing the one-note wife character in Liar Liar.
The redhead. What was her name?
That was... why am I forgetting her name now?
I can't remember it for the life of me.
Yeah, it's killing me. And she hasn't done much after that. She was in one episode of Seinfeld. And Catherine... something? Damn it.
Kathy Griffin.
No.
Kathy Griffin?
Not Kathy Griffin. That's another redhead. You're just mixing up your redheads. The lady who played Catherine, her name was Candy something or other. Candace? Candy?
Oh, yeah. She later did CSI Miami.
Yes. The morgue. The mortician. Yes,
the one with Dave Caruso took off his glasses all the time.
Yeah. Great show. And then, of course,
not really.
What got us there? No, not CSI. I'm talking about news radio.
Oh, okay, good.
No, not really. And then what else got us there? Stephen Root as Jimmy James, the man so
Jimmy
nice.
Jimmy James!
They named him twice. Oscars recap. Now, as we all know, the news radio won all the Oscars last night. Wait, no, it didn't.
It won 0.
Not last night, 2 nights ago. You didn't watch a second of it, did you?
Not even a millisecond.
I watched pretty much all 3 hours and 49 minutes.
Oh!
Well, I mean, that includes commercial time. I didn't watch the commercials, but...
Still, that is a long time to be watching an award ceremony.
An award ceremony. It started at 8, the schedule ended at 11, ended at 11:49. Those sons of bitches, no. Oh, my God.
Gotta make some cuts, man.
Yeah, what can they cut? And then that's the thing. Everyone wants to cut different things.
Yeah.
You know, some people want to cut the musical numbers. Some people want to cut the... The live bits they do. This year, Jimmy Kimmel, picked a bunch of... Well, got people to volunteer at random to interrupt the screening of A Wrinkle in Time in the theater next door. And they walked in there and, interrupted it live. And Gal Gadot was, giving them hot dogs and stuff. That was stupid. I'd say get rid of those seconds.
Yeah.
Like remember when Ellen did a selfie or giving out the pizza?
How about this? You know what?
Waste of time.
We'll get rid of both.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine getting rid of the whole thing. Put out a press release.
What? Boom. Right there, Crispy solved it.
All right, we solved it. That's the end of the show, guys. Oh, wait a second. That's not the end of the show. We have a whole recap to do because I actually watched it. That'd be a waste of time to watch it and not... It's for content. It's for the sake of content. If I didn't have the show, I'd be doing it. Kevin, SBK, shamed me into... what? It's the Super Bowl movies. You should be... I'm like, God damn it.
You son of a bitch.
Bitch, he's correct. Shout out to SBK. So I watch it. It was
I'm sorry.
It was.
You know what? For the first time, Chris, I didn't feel the need to watch the Oscars. I mean, normally, once in a while,
there's never any.
You know, I would watch it with you because, you know, I was here and it was on and you were watching it, so I might as well. And for the first time, I was just like, I don't even care.
You could have gone to your quarters. You could have retired for the night early. You didn't have to. That's the thing. I sat there begrudgingly. So begrudgingly watching it with that mindset, and I've been watching these things now steadily for, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the worst one.
Okay.
It wasn't the worst one. Kimmel, not a fan of his, but I don't not like him. I don't like Jimmy Fallon. He's just whatever.
Yeah.
The jokes said they were fine. It was just late night level quality joke writing. So it was all right.
Fantastic.
But then, the show itself was still just an award show. I mean, it had its ups and its downs. It had some genuinely touching moments. It had some things that didn't work. Keith Stanfield ran out at one point, so Jimmy Kimmel makes a joke, double jokes, based on the... to shame people into doing shorter speeches. The first joke is that the shortest speech of the night wins a jet ski. Cue Price is Right music. Alright. And behind them, a jet ski comes out, a 2018 Yamaha. The voiceover kicks in. May even be the guy. Probably was the guy from whatever is it. Not Rod Roddy because he's dead, but the new guy. The guy who has many rings. That's weird. And Helen Mirren is the presenter. She's sitting next, which was very funny. You know, so it's a dumb joke, but it's funny. And he's like, the winner of this the shortest acceptance speech gets the jet ski. And then the other joke was that we're not going to play you off. We're not going to do the thing where he played the music orchestra kicks in. Instead, this is going to happen. And then Lakeith Stanfield in his Get Out outfit, but the main one from the middle of the movie, not from the beginning, he runs out yelling, "Get out! Get out!" Runs down to the stage, "Get out! Get out!" Just screams like 10 times. Everyone's like, "Ah, this is so funny." It was so random. And he's like, "Get out!" And Kimmel's like, "This is what we're going to do." And like, all right. And then Kimmel goes into his next, like, now we're going to present the next award. But they obviously did not write an exit for Stanfield. So then he's just standing there looking at everyone. And then he's like kind of frozen in the middle of the stage.
Just like,
what do I do? And he's like still kind of in character. And then, because he's a professional to the end, he's great. And then Kimmel, he's just doing his thing. And Stanfield eventually like walks off, and they keep him in frame the whole time, and it's very awkward. It's like they didn't write him an exit. It was very funny, in a way that I was like, this is bad TV. This is really bad live TV. But otherwise, it was like, it is. It is what it is. So, I have a few stories here related to that, related to the Oscars. But first, let's go over to picks.
Yes, sir.
So you're gonna tally them. You're gonna write them down as we go over them real quick. And if we have any thoughts, we're going to spit them out. Here we go. Started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
Shout out to Drake. Sound mixing. I said Dunkirk. You said Star Wars. It went to Dunkirk. Just like sound editing, which went to Dunkirk, which I said. And you said Baby Driver. So get those two out of the way. Documentary feature. You got this one. It went to Icarus. That Russian doping documentary.
It's been on my list for a little while now.
Now that it's on Netflix, I picked Faces Places, and so I did not get that one. Makeup, we both got that one with Darkest Hour. Kind of obvious. Same thing with costume design. Phantom Thread. Yep, we both said that. Phantom Thread, Mark Bridges is the gentleman who was like the main person on the team for that. He the one who gave the speech. 36 seconds. Won the jet ski.
Nice.
So at the end, they rolled out the jet ski on the stage, and he's on it, and Helen Mirren's on it. He's got like a life vest on, and he's waving. And then they interviewed him later. He's like, "Shit, I really
got a jet ski. I really got a damn jet ski." And I got to ride it with Helen Mirren for a little bit.
A lot of people.
That would be fuck the jet ski. Just let me hang out with Helen Mirren.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is my opportunity to say hi to Helen Mirren. Cutest moment, cutest unscripted moment of the night. So part of that crew that Jimmy Kimmel put together. Like just randomly getting people out of the audience or getting them to volunteer anyway. He does it before the break. He's like, "All right, we're going to go to the theater across the street. We'll be back after commercial." Then after the commercial, they're all standing outside the theater in the auditorium or whatever. And Kim was like resetting everything. Yeah. So while he's talking into the mic, looking at the camera, next to him is Gal Gadot. They were saying it as Gadot.
Gadot.
Gadot. So I think it's the official way to say it now.
Okay.
It's a combination of Gadot and Gadot.
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 Okay.
You throw in that accent,
he's got
but you still hit that T.
Gotta hit that T.
So Gadot. Gal Gadot, and she's standing there, and next to her, like a foot shorter, is Mark Hamill. And Mark Hamill like kind of taps her on the arm. He's like, "Hey, I'm Mark Hamill. Nice to meet you." This is happening live on TV. "Hi, I'm Mark Hamill. Nice to meet you." She's like, "Oh my God, it's so nice to meet you." And they have like, and they meet.
They have a genuine moment.
Yes, they meet for the first time. And it's like, that was genuinely sweet. Yeah. Like, it was adorable. Yeah. That's probably my favorite part now of these Oscars, is all the unscripted little moments that you get to see. Maybe you get to see that, or otherwise it's like a picture of... So after, does it even matter? Did we both say Frances McDormand?
I don't think so.
No, we didn't. You said Sally Hawkins.
Yeah, because
we'll get to that later. But when Frances McDormand won,
because remember, Chris, I said that I didn't think Three Billboards was going to win any Oscars.
Anything? Yeah, that's right. Anything? Won a couple things.
I was wrong.
After she won, there's a nice picture of the other four nominees, like group hugging. They go, they got together. They go, girl power. You know, girl power. Shout out to girl power. Actually, speaking of girl power, Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph. Double, like they were presented. I don't remember what they presented, but they did the whole like comedy routine bit with it. And now everyone's like, just make them the host next year because they were fantastic. They were, and I would be fine with that
because
they were actually really funny. Like I said, it wasn't the worst Oscars I've watched. It really wasn't. It really wasn't. Cinematography, Deakins. Deakins did it, bro.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Good for him.
14 times. And we both said that, right? And we both said Deakins, absolutely. We both called it for Blade Runner 2049. So that was awesome. He had a cool little speech too, a quick one. Reference to jet ski. Many of the people referenced the jet ski. That's how could you not?
Takes time.
Yeah, some people were like, you're fucking up my... Like, Jordan Peele, the first thing he said, everyone was, like, applauding, standing ovation, and he's like, you guys are fucking up my jet ski, man. Production design. I said Beauty and the Beast. I thought that was going to be the one thing that I was going to get. You said Blade Runner 2049. It went to The Shape of Water.
Oh.
An omen of things to come.
Yes.
For real. Original song, we both said Coco, Remember Me. Now, they played performances, obviously, of all five original songs, something they've been doing for years. They can't cut that for time. I mean, if you're gonna, it's the only category that they can almost recreate live.
Did Coco win? Song.
Coco did win, yes, absolutely. Coco won. Not only did Coco win, I had this for the movie news story, but I'll go ahead and throw this out now. The main writer, this guy, Robert Lopez, this makes him the first ever double EGOT winner. Emmy, Grammy.
He's won two of each?
Two of each.
That motherfucker.
More than two of each, because he won three Tonys?
Okay.
I'll pull up the article later to go over his credentials exactly.
So basically he's
the first ever double EGOT.
So he's basically just going to like sit there and just like keep winning awards, and eventually he's going to like, all right, I got five of these, four of these.
Yeah.
Shit, I've still got two of these. All right, I got to work on the Oscar. I got to work on some more movies.
I got to make more movies. Yeah, exactly. Good for him. Robert Lopez. You know I'm going to latch onto a Lopez. Mm. Probably Mexican, but still, I got to do what I got to do. Representation matters. Mexico killed it tonight. Original score, Alexander Desplat. You gotta do the hand movement with it so people know what you're talking about. Shape of Water winning. We both said that.
Okay.
Documentary short subject. We both got this wrong. And we were just picking by, what are we gonna do? Heaven is a traffic jam on the 405. Short film live action. We both made random picks. The Kalb County for me, The Silent Child for you. It went to The Silent Child.
Ah, I love these guesses.
Yeah, there you go. I love the guesses. Got it. 20% chance. Yeah. You nailed it. The cool thing about that one, one of the ladies who worked on it, I don't know, producer, director, I have no idea. It's about a 4-year-old deaf girl learning to speak through sign language. So she goes up there and she does her whole acceptance speech in sign language. She's like, I told the girl if I'd win, I'd do it, blah, blah, blah. So she's up there signing, representation.
Matters. Sweet.
Short film emanated. I said Lou. You said Negative Space. Completely guessing. It went to Kobe Bryant's Dear Basketball. So in a night
Kobe
of
Bryant?
Kobe Bryant's Kobe a producer on this short animated movie Dear Basketball.
Are you telling me that Kobe Bryant just won an Oscar?
Kobe Bryant is an Academy Award winner. Academy Award winning Kobe Bryant. And he won it on a night of Me Too. And we're actually going to talk about that a little bit more later.
That's almost as good as the Academy Award winning 3-6 Mafia.
Almost as good, because that's pretty ridiculous.
That is the most ridiculous thing on that. You know, at that point in time, I should have known that Donald Trump was going to become president.
There's also, you could do that for any. Awards for art is whack. We've talked about this forever. And we could do that for, like, Grammy winning Bill Clinton or,
Yeah, it's strange.
The Grammys are a sham anyway because of the whole Milli Vanilli thing. They're forever tainted.
Yep.
I'll never let them live that one down. Film editing, we both got that right with Dunkirk. Visual effects, we both said War for the Planet of the Apes. Only thing it was nominated for. I'm happy getting it wrong. It went to Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
So we both got that wrong. And I still think if you're gonna parse this, it's still the wrong choice.
Yeah.
War for Planet of the Apes. I mean, Blade Runner is a beautiful movie, but what they did with Planet of the Apes is incredible.
Ridiculous.
It's the best one that they've ever made, and they've made a lot of them since the 70s. It's incredible. That's not a small feat. So, animated feature, Coco. We both said that. We both got that. All right. So I think. Here we go. Foreign language. I went with The Chilean, A Fantastic Woman. You said The Square, which is now on Hulu. It went to A Fantastic Woman. Now, when A Fantastic Woman, that director of that movie had a very touching speech as well, actually. The actress, which we saw this trailer too at the Enzian in front of The Shape of Water. It's playing there now. I want to go see it. I remember just thinking the trailer looked really good. The trailer does indicate this. It's a movie about a woman who her lover dies while she's with him, but he's married to someone else, and it's all about the aftermath of all that stuff.
She's a trans woman.
Oh, well, there we go.
And that's very central to the plot. That's what that's how the story developed. The director was interested in telling a trans story in some way.
Interesting.
Yes, and so Daniela Vega. This whole time I've been vamping just so I could try to remember her name in the background of my mind. Daniela Vega is the lady. And then after they won, she was also scheduled to present a award. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what she presented. Oh, I think she was to present a performance, a live music performance. Making her then the first trans presenter. Mm-hmm. That's how I became aware of the fact that I was like, I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just like a movie about a side piece.
About a lady.
Yeah, about a Chilean side piece. But no, she's a Chilean trans side piece. Like, what? That's a whole different thing now. Because we haven't seen this before. Anyway, now it really makes me want to see it. The fantastic woman is playing at the Enzian, you local yokels. Speaking of which, can we schedule for you to pick up my Film Fest pass?
I mean,
If I hit them up.
Yeah.
Because I got the trivia.
Yeah. Well, it's on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay. All right,
good with you.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Fuck you. I'm going to burn it.
We probably should. Yeah, that would suck. We could have done that off mic. Adapted screenplay. It just ends in. I was thinking about it. I did that second dab. I said Call Me By Your Name for James Ivory of Merchant Ivory. You said Logan just won.
I appreciate that. I knew it wasn't going to win, but I wanted it.
Call Me By Your Name won, which is cool because James Ivory, he is like writer, director, producer. You've heard of Merchant Ivory films, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always like these English set movies, often starring Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
And usually it's people who like they love each other, but they can't be together because of class or something. Mm. He adapted. He was hired to adapt this. First off, they were partners. They were life partners too. Him and this I can't remember the guy's first name, the merchant dude.
Okay.
And he died a few years ago. And James Ivory is now he's left behind, but he's still working. 89 years old. It's his first Oscar at the age of 89.
All he had to do was kick his life partner, and he finally made it.
Yeah. He had to outlive him. Outlive his poor life partner.
He was the weak link, Chris, holding him back this whole time.
Of all the men, best dressed of the night is a toss-up between Call Me By Your Name's Armie Hammer, who was wearing like a really sweet, like what looked like red velvet tuxedo, and James Ivory.
He had the Chalamet shirt.
Yes,
I saw that.
The Chalamet shirt was dope. Like that. That's exactly what an awesome 89-year-old gay screenwriter would wear.
Of course,
to the Oscars. That's so great. Original screenplay. We both said. We both said Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Get Out. So that was Jordan Peele's win for tonight. Actually, Jordan Peele, two things, being the first black person to win a writing award, and with is it this one? Adapted screenplay? There's also a woman, because Ivory, he wrote it with some other people, some other people took a pass. There's a credited female writer on adapted screenplay, and she's only the fifth woman to ever win a writing award.
Ridiculous.
Since World War II. Jordan Peele, the first black person to win a writing award. Spike Lee was nominated for Do the Right Thing and should have won everything.
Of course. But didn't.
But didn't win nothing. And Jordan Peele, so that's the first for that. And also, he is one of only three people whose first movie was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay. I haven't looked this up, but I'm almost positive the other two people are Orson Welles and Charlie Chaplin. So, no...
Yeah. Man, those are some big shoes to step into.
That's some crazy, that's some crazy company. The only three actors... Not the actors. Only three people to similarly be nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor in the same year. Orson Welles, Charlie Chaplin, Sylvester Stallone. For Rocky.
Even creepier.
Isn't that crazy? No, not best director. No, best picture, best actor, best screenplay. Excuse me. Yeah, because Stallone wrote it. Anyway, that was a tangent. Here we go. All the actors. We already said it. Actress leading role. I said Frances McDormand. You said Sally Hawkins went to Frances McDormand. She gave a great speech. Actress in a supporting role. I said Janie for I, Tonya. Allison Janney. You said Metcalf. For Lady Bird.
We split the difference.
You split it. It went to I, Tonya there. Yeah, Sal and Janie. And the bird, honestly. Actor in a supporting role. You said Willem Dafoe, Florida Project. I said Sam Rockwell after waffling on that and Christopher Plummer, and it went to Sam Rockwell. So there we go. He dedicated his to Phil Hoffman.
Nice.
And that's how he called him, Phil Hoffman. So that's what I'm going to call him from now on. Because apparently his friends called him Phil Hoffman.
So weird.
And he's not here to tell me otherwise.
Yeah. Correct.
Actor in a leading role. You said Daniel Day-Lewis for Daniel Day-Lewisery. I was thinking, could Chalamet get the upset at such a young age? But I went with Goldman, and I went to Gary Oldman.
The Goldman.
Got the gold man. Hey, very good job, Drew.
It's so weird he got the Daniel Day-Lewis award.
He did get this year's Daniel Day-Lewis award.
He stole it from Daniel Day-Lewis.
You know what? No one's perfect, Drew. And you know what? In 20 years from now, no one's going to remember Darkest Hour for shit.
And Phantom Thread's still going to be like, this weird fucking movie.
Phantom Thread will probably be taught in schools. in film school. It's going to be parsed as the masterpiece that it probably is. We'll see. You know how movies age. Mm-hmm. Actor, you know, we did that. Okay, director, we both said Del Toro, he won. And for Best Picture, you said Shape of Water. I said Three Billboards, thinking it was going to be a split. And they did not split it. It went to Shape of Water, which is still very cool. Mm-hmm. I was also wondering if it maybe could get if Get Out could be a spoiler win. But when it only got like screenplay and really wasn't getting anything else, that was like, yeah, that's pretty obvious. It's not going to happen. So there you go. And then bonus point, over under 3.5 hours. It's a scheduled 3-hour event. Mm-hmm. Over under 3.5. You went the over, so I took the under, obviously. Mm-hmm. 3 hours and 49 fucking minutes.
I win.
So you get the bonus point there, Drew. So here we go. What's our final scores?
You got 17 right. I got 13 right.
17 and 13. Eh, you know, not bad. It's kind of in line, I think, with our past years, actually.
Yeah.
I think our first year, I got like 21, 22. And you got like 2.
I got like 6.
It's like, we gotta throw handicap shit on this. And then I was like, Crystal Dawn was a spoken. And then it was just like an abnormal year, apparently. Because since then, it's been like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yep.
And it actually has gotten less and less predictable, I felt like. Until this year was sort of predictable.
A little bit.
In some ways. No. I probably should have just gone with The Shape of Water at the end there. 18 looks better than 17. But in the end, does it matter? No. Nope.
Nope, means nothing.
It means not a thing. It means nothing. So let's get into some stories here real quick, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Emma Stone getting some of that white feminism backlash, Drew. First off, you know about white feminism?
Wait, what?
Drew, no.
Now I'm confused.
Yes, thank you, Drew. No movement is perfect.
Okay.
No ideology is perfect, right? You agree with that, right?
Of course.
Even people who...
I mean, Chris, communism is perfect in theory.
In theory. In theory, so many of these things like should work. They should work. Capitalism, in theory, should work. The free market should work, but none of this shit is working. There's got to be some. None of it is working. So nothing is perfect. Feminism isn't perfect. White feminism is a thing. What white feminism is, Drew, is when white women advocate for feminism, advocate for women, but then they do so at the expense of...
Black women.
Of not black women, but male minorities. Or they ignore... It's two things. Either male minorities or they... In this case, it's that. Or they discount minority women. Black mm-hmm. women, Asian women, Spanish mm-hmm. women, whatever. It's like it's still... While they're advocating for, you know, equality amongst gender...
They're still like, I'm white.
Yes, they're still enjoying their white privilege and not really recognizing it and doing anything about it, you know, which is the problem. Everyone has some sort of privilege that they probably have to get over in some way. We all do. You, me, everyone does. The idea is just to be mindful of it. That's how you combat it. Oh, yeah, I'll get that later. So, Emma Stone, first off, at the Golden Globes for Best Director, it was all 5 male nominees. So, who was it? It was Natalie Portman, I think. She was the presenter, and she said, here are your all-male nominees, which was like, oh, shade, and it was fun. At that point, it was kind of fun. We're like, yeah, you go, girl. That was awesome. And then mm-hmm. Del Toro won, okay?
Yeah.
At the Oscars, Emma Stone is the presenter for Best Director. She goes, here are your 4 male nominees and Greta Gerwig, like calling her out mm-hmm. specifically, because she was actually yeah. nominated. That did not go over as well in the Twitter sphere because she overlooked the other people who were nominated for director. Jordan Peele and Guillermo del Toro both being nominated for Best Director is still a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
In a year where we have a woman cinematographer has been nominated, in which a trans director has films that have been, like... Actually, I don't think... Was Strong Island nominated for anything? Strong Island was nominated for something, wasn't it?
Don't know.
I'm trying to look over this list as fast as I can. There's a very well-received... Yeah, Strong Island was nominated for documentary, and that's by a trans director. There's, like, a lot of great representation going on behind the scenes and stuff, right? So then for her to be like, oh, slag these dudes. One of them is a Mexican immigrant and one of them is a black dude.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're even nominated, let alone that one of them that ends up winning, is, like, the first words out of Guillermo del Toro's mouth in his acceptance speech was, I am an immigrant.
Yeah.
So, Emma Stone, you done fucked up. That's white feminism, Drew. Yeah. That's an example
okay,
right there
gotcha.
Of white feminism, where you meant well, but you done fucked up.
Yeah.
That was bad. Very cool for Del Toro to be. That's part of the reason why it seemed like he was going to win. He's joining his homies, Cuarón yeah. mm-hmm. and Iñárritu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they can all hang out and be like, "Hey, look at this little gold man we have."
Yeah. And then the part of the reason why Deakins wins for Blade Runner, I went back. There's this thing. It was like, here are all his 13 nominations and what he lost to.
Yeah.
The last like two or three movies he lost to was fucking Iñárritu's Revenant, shot by Emmanuel Lubezki,
mm-hmm.
and Cuarón's Gravity, shot by Emmanuel Lubezki.
He lost to the same guy twice.
They're all to the same. Yeah, his crew and his guy. They lost, but they're off working. They didn't have a movie, so yeah. Del Toro slipped in there with his monster fish movie, his monster fish fucking movie, yeah. and won. Yeah. And then the irony of that, Drew, there are people now who are positing that The Shape of Water was this year's, quote, safe pick, like The King's Speech or Shakespeare in Love.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, some people are advocating that the fish monster sex movie was the safe pick of the Oscars.
Fish monster sex movie.
Yes.
That's the safe pick.
Yes, the genre film is the safe one. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? People are crazy. The internet is a wild,
like, there
wild
is...
place.
There's fish fucking.
There's fish fucking. There's rampant underwater masturbation to an egg tomber and then fish fucking.
Fish fucking, I mean...
And then a dude's hair grows back and then there's like blue glowing. Anyway, we gotta move on.
She banged a fish man!
She bangs. That's my favorite Ricky Martin song.
And I think that's another thing that makes this year's Oscars so great. The movie about a deaf lady banging a fish man won Best Picture.
Best Picture and Best Director, yes. Man. Isn't that wild?
It's awesome.
And a couple other awards as well.
Yeah.
The big winner of the night was the fish sex movie.
Yep. Fish sex.
Every year, the best part about the In Memoriam is who did they snub?
So who did they snub?
Who got forgot? First off, Eddie Vedder comes out.
No.
And does a performance of Tom Petty's Room at the Top. Actually, not bad. Not like Eddie Vedder, so it wasn't bad at all. Tom Petty was not in Memoriam.
Oh, well.
He died, but not in it. I guess you can argue he's a musician.
Yeah.
He must have been in a movie. He does music videos.
But, I mean, seriously. I mean, they used his freaking song.
And then, but we're not going to feature him. John Mahoney, the dad from Frasier.
Yeah.
Some bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Not featured. Adam West. The Batman movie. Batman was turned into a movie.
How do you not?
Because they're probably thinking he's a TV star. But he still did movies. He did the first Batman movie.
Yeah.
Powers Booth, who died. He was in Tombstone. I mean, I'm trying to just think of reference points for people. Tombstone and Deadwood, Sin City. I can never say this guy's last name. It's kind of French. Robert Guillaume. It's almost like a French version of William.
Guillaume.
If you look him up, you're like, that dude. It's Benson.
Okay.
Benson died. They forgot him. Jim Nabors died, Jerry Van Dyke. In one of their movie montage segments, they featured a clip of Leatherface,
mm-hmm.
directed from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah. directed by Tobe Hooper, who passed away. They forgot him. Lewis Gilbert is a director, Drew, who directed 3 James Bond films and was nominated for an Oscar for directing Alfie.
Okay.
They forgot him. They forgot... they remembered Roger Moore, but they forgot him. Anyone else? That's big. I think those are all the big ones.
Sweet.
Della Reese. Oof. How do you forget?
Nothing like getting forgotten at the Oscars.
Nothing like getting forgotten in your death. Robert Lopez, I just said real quick, I was going to go over his credits. Shout out to La Raza in Mexico. Robert Lopez, the only double EGOT winner. Also, the youngest ever EGOT. He won all four by the age of 39. Wow. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. So, let's see. He previously won Best Original Song in 2014 for Let It Go in the movie Frozen. He has two Daytime Emmys for the show Wonder Pets. Three Grammys for Book of Mormon, the Frozen soundtrack in its entirety, and the song Let It Go. And three Tonys, two for Book of Mormon and one for Avenue Q. So apparently he has experience with subversive Broadway entertainment.
I was about to say.
That's pretty cool. That's a lot of fun. So there you go. And then Coco winning also for Best Anime. That's really cool. And then Drew, Frances McDormand. You know, you win that Oscar, they hand it to you. It's literally like, here it is, it's yours, it's your responsibility from this point out, right? So you're walking around with it, it's in your hand. Who was it? I think it was Roger Deakins said that it was like he was walking around that he realized, like, why is my arm dragging? What's going on? It's like, oh, I'm holding this fucking thing in my hand. Yeah. It's like, it's such a weird experience. The Governor's Ball is the official after party of the Oscars at one of the random hotels that whoever sponsors it. That's where most people end up going if they want to brave the traffic and the car wait times and shit. Yeah. There's a really funny Hollywood Reporter article where they, like, very straight face. I don't know if it's satire or not. I don't think it is. It seems like an Onion article. At very straight face. Here are, like, the six major Hollywood parties after the Oscars and average wait times for all the hotels. Average, like, everything. Everything you need to know. It's like, this is so stupid. People have their Oscars. They set them down on tables. Some tables, they reported it looked like just a bunch of Oscars put standing up, right? So one dude decided to grab one and try to make off with it. And that was Frances McDormand's Oscar.
Oh!
Now, what had happened was a guy who was a photographer there for a publication, he was, like, doing his job, taking pictures, and he saw the guy. And he was like, you're not Frances McDormand. Like, you're not no one. You should not be holding an Oscar right now. And he actually got a picture of him straight up, like holding his face and everything. A great picture. And then the guy eventually, what did they do? I think they stopped him. They got Frances McDormand, and she was like, nah, let him go, because she's crazy. She don't give a shit. She's like, let him go, whatever. They still were like, the police were like, no. Or the hotel people were like, no. We're not letting this shit go. So he's been arrested for theft, whatever the value is of all those things and whatever, and larceny, I don't know. But yeah, Frances McDormand's Oscar got stole at the party because she put it down.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can't lug that thing around all that.
You can't lug that thing. And you're at a party where, like, there's like 20, 30, 40 other people with them. They're everywhere.
Can't you check that thing at the coat room?
No. let Maggie at the coat room be responsible for your Oscar, man. It's got your name on it. Does it have their names on it by that point? I guess it does. Right? It should. They know it. They know ahead of time. Those are your Oscars. The Oscar 2018. Lowest rated Oscars ever.
Oh, there we go.
26 million people watched this year.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, last year, well, less and less people care. 26 million people still cared, but less and less people care. Last year was like 33. I mean, it's been trending downward, obviously, for years, just like all entertainment has in terms of viewership. Well, unless you're at a Super Bowl, apparently. So we'll see. Interested in seeing what they do next year to try, because obviously some people are shook because it dropped quite a bit in terms of viewership. But then again, I just say, like, build a Squarespace website and just post just one morning. Boom. Yep. You wake up, you go to the website. Like, oh, Shape of Water one.
Sweet.
Oh, that's cool. And then the reporters call Guillermo del Toro. What's your quote? And then he gives the same impassioned speech, and it's in writing. And then you read it while you're on the shitter on your phone. You're like, oh, look at that. Yeah, he's an immigrant. Yeah, very cool. Very inspiring. Right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So much easier.
No.
Oh, I want to hear the song. Play. I'll play the song on my phone. I don't need a live performance of Gael Garcia Bernal singing the, you know what? Know what I'm saying? Anyway.
I do know what you're saying, Chris. That's why I didn't watch it this year. I was one of those people that I was part of that.
You watched The Walking Dead instead?
I didn't watch any of it. I think I went to sleep at about 9 o'clock.
You're such an old man.
I am. Well, I wake up at 4.
You're such an old. Only old men wake up at 4.
But do old men go to work?
Yeah. Yeah, at 5? Making donuts.
Yeah. Sounds like a good life.
That's not a good life. I'd wake up early and make donuts. I'd also die early because donuts. Because donuts. Guys, that's it for this. We'll be back with episode 270 this weekend with Peter Von Zaborski from Scotch and Good Conversation.
Very nice.
Making his great return to Cinema Crespo. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Let us know, what do you thought of the Oscars? CinemaCrespo@gmail.com. please keep it short, and rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. We're still sitting on 59 reviews, guys. What's up with that?
10.
Come on.
And then we're done. All we need is 10 more reviews, and we don't need any more.
Just give us 10 more reviews, and then we're going to high five until our arms fall off. March 24th comes to the PFT Media Party, you locals. Also, next week, what's next Tuesday? Whatever next Tuesday is from now, this is going to sound very awesome. if you're listening like past next Tuesdays, just stop listening from this point.
Which next Tuesday? Chris, today is the 6th, so next Tuesday would be the 13th.
Guys, next Tuesday the 13th, I'll be hosting trivia at the Ocean Sun Brewery at 7 p.m. on Curry
4. The 13th
of
March. 13th of March.
2018.
You should put that out there, because this could...
Well, it's the Oscars recap 2018, so they know the year that we're talking about. But yeah, there you go. March 13th, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Curryford.
That's right after Daylight Savings.
It's right after Daylight Savings, so make sure your clocks are fixed. And I'll be hosting... Oh my god, I'm burping. Sorry.
You're dying.
I am dying. If I'm still alive, I'll be hosting trivia there at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And of course, every Wednesday, just like this week, I'll be at the Oblivion Tap Room at 7:30. Come on out. Drew, you have anything you want to plug? Where are you going to be? Drew, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be home. Sleeping.
All right. If you want to find Drew, he'll be at home sleeping a lot. So there you go. You can knock on his door and see if he'll answer.
I won't.
Don't ring the doorbell. It doesn't work.
Ring the doorbell. I'll get to you.
Oh, there you go. Never mind. It works. That's it, guys. Peace.
A PFT Media production.